Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Jennifer Reed Hawthorne is here, too, ladies and gentlemen, because she's the co-author of New York Times' number one bestseller, Chicken Soup for the Woman's Soul, and Chicken Soup for the Mother's Soul, and Diamonds, Pearls, and Stones, and the list goes on and on. I'm also holding a brand new book in my hand, another bestseller, The Soul of Success. And Jennifer Reed Hawthorne is our good friend. Jennifer, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much, Jim.
It's good to have you back, as always, and especially this time of year. I'm always excited to hear about what your take is on the holidays. And, you know, I was telling the audience last week, Jennifer, that I actually like Thanksgiving in a lot of ways more than Christmas, because I feel like Thanksgiving still has a lot of the meaning in it. Mm-hmm. And that it's not as obligatory, although sometimes we go places we feel obligated to go to. But basically, there's no quid pro quo expected. There's no gift giving necessarily, and it's all just right out there on the table, literally and figuratively and literally how we
right.
feel about it. You know, we all stop and say how thankful we are. Mm-hmm. There's not as much of the insanity that we have during the Christmas time, and therefore, which brings me to that holiday, I'm a little bit of a Scrooge when it comes to Christmas.
Mm.
Because of all of the nuttiness that we've gotten into the holidays. What do you think?
Oh, well, I really agree with you. I love your assessment there of the difference between those two major holidays. It really does seem that the commercialization of the holiday season, particularly as it's centered around Christmas, despite
right.
the fact that we have, you know, major holy days, if you will, of all religions at
right.
this time of year.
Right.
It does seem to have become such a cultural thing, a cultural phenomenon, and so has the accompanying craziness, if you will. And so I've really been thinking a lot. You know, Jim, I love the topic of success. When I wrote The Soul of Success, mm-hmm. A Woman's Guide to Authentic Power, I really started looking for different definitions of success and different ways to live life. And I noticed that, you know, one definition of holiday in the dictionary is holy day. And when I started thinking about what holy means, I thought, okay, well, it means sacred. And if you're not particularly religious or spiritual, it can just mean meaningful. And, you know, the Bushmen have a saying. They say that there are two kinds of hunger. There's a physical hunger, and then there's what they call the great hunger, which is the hunger for meaning. And so I think that at this time of year, one of the things that escapes us as we get caught up in the commercialization of the season is that search for meaning and the search for wholeness, you know. And wholeness to me and the seeking of human beings to be whole really brings us back to the whole mind-body-spirit concept that is gaining such popularity and recognition and acknowledgement for its truth today. So I thought maybe we could talk about some mind, body, spirit ways of approaching the holiday seasons that could really, really make a difference in our own lives.
And I'd like to do that, and I'm glad you want to talk about that, but here's something I'd like to ask you to help us with.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the problem I've got with the period of the year that we're entering right now, the next 4 weeks or so. And that is the problem I've gotten. The reason I'm not a Scrooge because I'm stingy. I'm a Scrooge because, well, you know, because I don't I don't get all worked up over the holidays. And the reason is because I think it's disingenuous to be, you know, all caring and so touchy-feely during the Christmas season, and then you're not that way at all in April or mm-hmm. July or August. You know, what do we got to do to get that spirit, that attitude, and keep it all year long? You know, it's not that hard to do.
Well, I think that it is very hard for a lot of people. It just it is that what you're saying is that it shouldn't be that hard to do.
It shouldn't be that hard. But I wonder, Jennifer, if people don't tank up on that spirit at Christmas time, mm-hmm. and think, well, I've gotten that, you know, and then after Christmas, you know, it's sort of like, I'm not saying it's conscious, but unconsciously, well, you know, I took care of that. Now I can be, you know, I don't have to. People don't expect me to be that way in February.
Well, you know, I think you're right, and one of the things on the list of suggestions that I was going to give this morning, Jim, was to walk your talk, as the saying goes, to really practice what it is that you value in life, whether it's your business values or values in terms of the way you raise mm-hmm. your family, or values in terms of the kind of person that you want to be. There is an extraordinary story from The Soul of Success, and I wanted to ask you if we have time this morning for me to share that with
Absolutely.
You, because I think
we'll make time for you, Jennifer.
Okay, great. The story is about Lynn Twist, Jim, who was one of the founders of the Hunger Project. And I don't know if you know, the Hunger Project has as mm-hmm. its goal to eradicate hunger from the face of the earth in our lifetime. And several years ago, Lynn had gone to Africa with 18 volunteers from the Hunger Project, and they had some huge successes there. And arriving back in New York at the headquarters of the Hunger Project, they were celebrating their successes and had a wonderful meeting to do that. And about 9:30 in the evening, she walked out to go back to the place in the village where she was staying, and she hailed a cab, and she was just feeling so light that she could walk on water, she said. She felt so deeply connected to the people mm-hmm. of Africa, especially the women with whom she worked. And she got into this cab and immediately realized that she was in the presence of a very angry young African-American man. Mm-hmm. She said he was so full of hatred and rage, and he really drove as if he wanted to kill somebody. And in fact, that feeling sort of came true when they pulled up to a stoplight. An Indian Sikh driver, identifiable by the turban that he was wearing,
right.
cut her driver off, and he became so enraged that at the next stoplight, when they pulled up next to each other, Lynn's driver got out of the car, went over, started beating on the man's hood, then pulled out a switchblade and walked around and tried to stab the man.
Oh, no.
Well, the light turned green, fortunately, and the Indian driver just took off. And Lynn's driver started walking back to the car, the knife in his hand still open. And Lynn said she literally just sat in the back seat, frozen.
Huh.
And as he took off, she thought, what do I do? Do I scream for the police? Do I try to get out? But the loudest thought of all was, you know, I can be effective in Bangladesh or in Africa
mm-hmm.
in empowering people to begin to turn their situation around, which is what her whole life was about. But
right.
can I walk my talk with this man?
When we come back after these messages, Lynn's going to tell us. I'm sorry, not Lynn. That's the person in the cab. Jennifer, she's with us right now. Jennifer Reed Hawthorne is going to tell us what happened. How about that for a cliffhanger? 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back. That's Mr. Robert Cray on blues guitar there, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Jennifer Reed Hawthorne, the author of The Soul of Success, also the co-author of Chicken Soup for the Woman's Soul, and a number of other books, many books. She's a great author and got a lot of important things to say for men and women. Jennifer, tell us where your books are available, please.
Oh, anywhere, absolutely, any bookstore. You can also get them online from me if you want an autographed copy.
That's what we want. Where? How do we get that?
That's www.thesoulofsuccess.com.
Thesoulofsuccess.com. Folks, you're going right. to want an autographed copy because in 100 years, that autograph will be worth $10,000,
$20,000
easy. Jennifer.
Oh, Jim, you're so good to me.
Tell us about the you left us hanging. Lynn was in the cab with this angry man with a knife in his hand.
Yes, and, you know, I'm telling you an example. When I talk about walking your talk, which was the question, you know, that really was going through Lynn's mind, can I walk my talk here in New York City in this cab where no one's looking? It's not Bangladesh. It's not Africa. This is a really, you know, wonderful example of the spirit part mm-hmm. of whole living, if you will, because it has to do with the heart. That's the way spirit gets manifest through us, through our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Lynn decided not to try to escape escape from the cab. She did suggest at one time that the driver pull over, which angered him so much more that he was now starting to drive and be turned around looking at her in the back seat, screaming at her. But she said, you know, somewhere around 42nd and Broadway, she suddenly stopped listening to him from her head, and she dropped into a place of compassion in her heart. And she said, you know, I don't know if we could prove this scientifically, but when you're in your heart, it seems you have access to courage. And she said, when they got to her destination, after he had turned around and screamed at her how much she owed him, she said, you know what? I'm at the end of my day. I don't have anywhere else to go now. Would you like to talk? And the man looked at her as if she were crazy, and he stopped yelling, and he stared at her for a moment, and then he started telling her the really tragic and brutal story of his life and of his mother who'd been a crack cocaine addict and his father who had beaten him and kicked him in the stomach when he was 3 years old, which had given him back problems ever since. And she said Lynn just realized that she could no longer separate herself from this man, that as human beings, they were really the same. And she got out of the back seat and into the front seat, Jim.
Wow, that's a brave woman.
And she took his hand. And she said right beneath her hand and his was the knife. The switchblade was still open. And she said the man started to cry. And he wept about the horrors of his life and the anger he felt toward every racial and ethnic group. And by the time he was finished, he was just sobbing. And the way the story ends is that Lynn took his other hand in hers, and she told him her name. And, you know, when he had finished crying, he told her his. And then she paid him and got out of the cab. And she said, you know, at that moment, she really saw a man yearning to love and be loved. And while she couldn't know whether she had made a difference in his life, she knew that he had made a difference in hers.
Yep.
And I think it's because of what Gandhi says, you know, that the unadulterated love of one person can nullify the hatred of millions.
Well, there's no question about it. And it's one of the things, I'm so glad you told that story, because it's one of the things that I encourage people to think about all the time. One person, look at history, one person can make a lot of difference. And sadly, Jennifer, for good or for ill. We have
That's plenty
of examples where one person did a lot of bad things, but one person can do a lot for many. And, you know, do you know the Star Thrower story, Jennifer? The story of the book called Star Thrower.
Yes, of course.
I've forgotten the author's name, but the wonderful story about the guy who was throwing the starfish back in the ocean.
Right, right.
And I tell that story all the time to audiences, and they love it because it's a wonderful story. And folks, real quickly, the guy kept throwing starfish back in the ocean that had been washed up in a storm, and the guy walks up and says, "Why are you doing that? There are hundreds of thousands of these. How can you make a difference?" And he picked one of the starfish up and threw it in the water, and he said, "I made a difference to that one, didn't I?"
Yeah, that's right.
And I think that's an excellent thing for us all to think about as we enter into this holiday season when our hearts we're looking for reasons, aren't we, Jennifer? Don't you think we're looking for reasons to drop into that heart place you were talking about?
All the time, and every time we do, we heal something within ourselves.
And don't we, even if we think we're not looking for it, if we don't know how to look for it, what about if we just make ourselves available?
That's very beautiful. Very beautiful.
Well, I'll tell you why I say that. I heard a nun talking about the vow that she made. She said, "I didn't make a vow of chastity. I didn't make a vow of not get married. I made a vow of availability."
Oh, that's really beautiful.
And that was 20 years ago, and I still haven't forgotten that.
Well, you know, I think there one way to really enable ourselves to be available for others, Jim, and for whatever life brings us, is to stay rested. That's looking at wholeness from the body perspective. They say that rest before midnight is worth twice what rest after midnight is. So if you sleep from 10 till 6, that's different from your 8 hours from 12 to 8. And any minute of sleep that you get before 10 o'clock at night, research shows, is qualitatively and quantitatively far and above any other sleep that you get. If we stay rested in our bodies, then our minds stay clear and we're able to deal with anything that comes at us. And from the mental perspective, give gratitude. What we focus on in life grows, and every night before you go to sleep, no matter how crazy it is, just find three things to be grateful for. It will change your life because it will attract more to be grateful for.
I'm grateful for Jennifer Reed Hawthorne. Jennifer, thank you for being here. Good job, and we'll see you next time.
Jennifer, thank you. Happy holidays, everybody.
The Soul of Success. Check it out. Quick break. Right back with Brad Huskin after these messages. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.